The scripture reading today is Mark 11, 22 to 24. And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." The word of God for the people of God.
Today we are talking about prayer, and talking about this incredible promise of prayer that Jesus gives to whoever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you've received it, and it's yours. I've spent a lot of my life now studying the Bible, and I've been to seminary, and my job keeps me in the Bible, studying it and wrestling with it. But there are, I confess, still lots of passages in the Bible that I find rather puzzling. And I've come to realize that these puzzling passages fit in one of two categories. First, there are passages that are just simply hard to understand. Passages like in the book of Leviticus, it tells the Israelites there to take the fat surrounding the organs along with the kidneys and burn those separately from the burnt offering. And you have to, and when you read that, you wonder, well, why is that even significant? Why is that included? Or in the book of Ezekiel, in the vision that God gives to him, he sees these winged creatures that are covered head to toe with eyes, and then next to these winged creatures are wheels, and those wheels are also covered in eyes, and you have to read that and ask, what in the world does that mean? These are passages that are simply hard for us to understand, takes a little bit of extra study. But the second category of puzzling passages, and the one that gives me the most trouble, are those passages that instead of asking, what in the world does that mean, it forces you to ask, how in the world could that be true? How in the world could that be true? These are the kinds of passages that don't really match up with our experience. And today we're looking at one of these difficult, puzzling passages. Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it's yours." This isn't the only place where this promise is given to us. When you've come across this promise, have you struggled with it? It sounds like an amazing promise, right? And it is, no doubt, but every time I read it, I sort of scratch my head wondering, how could that be true? This doesn't match my experience. And so very simply today, I want to wrestle with this promise, ask the question, how can this be true? Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it's yours. So let's look at it. Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain to go and throw itself into the sea and does not doubt but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done for him. And I tell you the truth, whatever you ask for in prayer, again, believe that you've received it and it's yours. Before we get into the actual interpretation of this passage, I want to first linger in the tension that this promise presents us with. There's a great tension between this promise and our experience. At first glance, this promise seems to paint the picture that as long as you have enough faith, you can basically have whatever you want. In fact, you can have things that just, no matter how ridiculous they are, you can have it. Like, if you want a mountain to move, you can have it move. Or if you wanted to have this building picked up with all of us in it, placed down in Florida, and we could enjoy some warm weather, you could do that. You just have to believe it. Seems like God's giving us this unlimited promise. Say it, believe it, it's yours. Well, is this consistent with your experience? How many of you have prayed for something and it didn't happen? If you haven't had that experience, then you probably haven't prayed. I'm guessing that there's pains in your life, circumstances that you've prayed for, but nothing seems to change. And you try to apply this passage, and you pray believing that you've received it, but still that mountain doesn't move. When I was 16 years old, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I prayed hard for her to be healed. There were lots of other people who prayed for her to be healed. People who had much greater faith than I had as a 16-year-old and still greater faith than I have now. But yet, 6 months later, she died. And you know, it wasn't so much that I struggled with God not answering my prayer. I trust that he has a good plan, but why in the world would he give us a verse like this one that we're still looking at today? Whatever you want in faith, it'll be done. If you give us this promise, why do you have things work out this way? Where I prayed in faith, believing, and yet she still died. Don't give me a glorious promise about prayer if it's not true, if it's not going to happen in my life. And it seems like this passage is saying that the reason why God didn't answer that prayer is because I just didn't have enough faith. And I'll be the first to admit that I didn't have perfect faith. I still don't have perfect faith. But there are other people who I admired who had great faith, and they prayed, but still she died. I'll also point out that this very same promise is recorded for us in Matthew 17, verse 20. And it says there that if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So there, the only requirement is for you to have a little teeny bit of faith, a little grain of mustard seed, small faith, and it'll happen. Well, I definitely at least had a little bit of faith. So why didn't it happen? How can this promise be true? He says, nothing will be impossible for you, but yet moms still die. Relationships still don't last. Loneliness lingers. Addiction continues. Depression intensifies. How can it be true? There are not only lots of examples in our lives, in your life, but there are also lots of examples in the Bible of those who prayed prayers of faith and yet God didn't grant it. And so I want to point out two quick examples. The Apostle Paul. If anyone had great faith, you could put him on that list of those who had great faith. If anyone could move mountains, he could do it. He was the one who had miraculous powers. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. But yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, he pleaded with the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh that had tormented him. And he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord about it, that it would be removed. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So you can question lots of people's faith, but I wouldn't question Paul's faith. And yet he prayed in faith, and yet God didn't answer his request. The mountain didn't move. And then the greatest example is the Lord Jesus himself. On the night he was betrayed, he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was, in a sense, staring into the furnace of God's red-hot wrath that he would endure as he hung on the cross. And he dreaded that, so much so that he pleaded urgently with the Lord, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. He had perfect faith. And yet his request, in a sense, was not granted. He wasn't allowed to pass on this cup. And so here, Jesus himself says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, it'll be yours. But even his own request was denied. The promise just doesn't seem true. That's the tension. We all live in this tension. So now let's look at this passage. There are two phrases that I want to think about, reflect on, that get at the heart of this passage. Phrase number one, whatever you ask, and phrase number two, believe that you've received it. So the first phrase, whatever you ask. Jesus said, whatever you ask for, believe it, and it's yours. Just Jesus really mean that you can ask for whatever you want, no restrictions, and you'll receive it. So if I wanted to fly home from here instead of walk home, I just have to pray in faith. Would I be able to fly then? Well, to help us to understand this phrase, we have to think about the nature of language. Our words take on meaning by the way that we use the word. The word is defined by the way we use it. So, for example, the word everybody takes on a different meaning depending on how you use it. So, let's say I was coaching a basketball team. We gathered for practice. I had everyone gather in. I said, all right, is everyone here? I obviously wouldn't be referring to everyone in the whole world. I'd just be referring to everyone on the team. The word everyone is limited by the way I use the word. So I remember growing up, we didn't go out to eat a whole lot, but when we did, it was usually limited on what we could spend. And oftentimes we'd go to this Mexican restaurant called Poncho's, one of my favorites. And on those good days when mom and dad said, you can get whatever you want, no price restrictions, I was excited. They said you could get whatever you want, but I knew that they weren't offering to buy me the arcade game or the tables and chairs or, you know, the lamps that were on the table. It was limited to the food that Poncho's had offered. So just that food in particular. So these all-inclusive words like is everybody or you can have whatever, they're limited by the way I use the term. By the way we use the terms, we define the term. And so Jesus said, whatever you ask, could he be using it in a narrowed definition rather than just whatever you want? Well, to answer that question, we have to apply an important principle when trying to understand and interpret the Bible. The principle is this. Use the clearer passages of the Bible to interpret the less clear, puzzling passages of the Bible. And there are quite a few passages that we could look at, but this morning we're going to look at just one passage from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And as I read it, listen to how similar its words are to the words of Jesus. And actually, I'm going to read verse 15 first. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. You know, that sounds very similar to the verse in Mark 11. Whatever we ask for, that's an all-inclusive word, it sounds like. We know what we asked for. But it's verse 14 that really defines this word, whatever. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So verse 14 sheds a lot of light on verse 15 and also on the verse that we're looking at here in Mark 11. If we ask anything according to his will, it is done. So the term whatever doesn't mean that I can ask to fly home from here and that would be granted as long as I have enough faith. But rather, it's whatever is in accordance with the will of God. So God has his plan, and he weaves our prayers and the answers to those prayers into his plan. But if we pray for something that doesn't fit into his will for our lives, then he graciously doesn't give it to us. And so, for example, take that prayer that Jesus offered on the night he was betrayed. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And if God answered his prayer, then the whole plan of salvation would have been lost. You and I, we wouldn't be here today talking about these things. But it was the Father's will for Jesus to lay down his life on the cross. And I'm so thankful that God the Father didn't say, okay, yeah, you can pass on this. Just come on home and we'll let the human race fend for themselves. I'm glad God didn't grant his request. And so when you pray for something and it's not granted, or at least it's not granted at that point, you know that at that point it's not according to the will of God. So the word whatever is limited to its meaning. This is a good limitation. We should be thankful that God has limited it because if we did get whatever we wanted without restriction, our lives would be a total wreck. You might think it'd be good, but it'd be a total wreck. So the word whatever is limited to anything in accordance with the will of God. Now let's think about the second phrase there in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, again, caveat, according to the will of God, believe that you've received it. Believe that you've received it and it will be yours. So we're going to look at this word, believe. From the sense of the passage, it sounds like that whenever you ask for something, you should act as if God has already given it to you. And if you have that kind of faith, then God will definitely give you what you ask for. So, for example, again, if I wanted to fly home from here and I wanted to show that I had this great faith that God was going to cause me to fly, I could jump off of, you know, the balcony at Sky Lounge and try to fly to show that I have faith that God is going to make me fly. You know, people have done things like that, thinking that they're acting in faith. And they've been hurt badly. Is this what Jesus is telling us to do? Just ask for it and then act as if he's already given it to you. I don't think so. And here's why. I can be confident that he's granted my request if I know that it's God's will for me to fly. If God hasn't told me, okay, you're going to fly today, then I can't act as if it's going to happen. I can't have undoubting faith that he will grant me my request unless he's promised it. That's why when we pray for things that aren't specifically promised, we should follow the example that Jesus gives us. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. I've heard some people look down on this phrase, your will be done, not mine, as if we don't have enough faith when we're praying. It's a phrase that really proves that I don't believe that God's going to answer me. But if Jesus uses it in prayer with perfect faith, it can't mean that we don't have enough faith. It doesn't show a lack of faith. It shows a trust in the will of God, and therefore we should use that phrase. When I pray, your will be done, I'm acknowledging that I think this thing that I'm asking for would be good for me. It'd be good if I could be able to fly today. But from my limited perspective, I acknowledge that you, God, know ultimately what's best. And so your will be done. I want blank, but your will is better. So if you don't have a specific promise for your request, you must pray. You should pray. You ought to pray. You need to bring those requests to the Lord. But you must always pray, your will, not my will, be done. I submit to your will and you know what's best. Well, then the question I have to ask here then is there anything that I can pray for sure, without doubt, knowing that God will give it to me? Can I pray for anything without saying, well, your will be done, not mine? Is there anything that I can ask God for and be completely certain that I can receive it? Absolutely. You can pray every single promise of the Bible. And if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, God will grant it to you. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, all the promises are granted to you. So you can live knowing for certain that you've received it. Whatever you ask, according to his promises, which are his revealed will, it will be given to you. So when you come across a promise that God gives to us as his people, you pray that promise and you claim it for your own life. And it's yours if you pray in faith. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. You call in the name of the Lord, and you take your next step knowing that God has heard you, and you have moved that mountain. Romans 8:28-29 says, we know all things work together for the good of those who love him, to be conformed into the likeness of his Son. This verse tells us, promises us, that God's intention is to mold you into the image of Jesus Christ, which is your greatest good. God promises that he'll make you holy, so pray for it. believing that God is going to do it and going to conform you into his image. You'll move that mountain. Isaiah 40, he will renew your strength. Pray for it. Believe that you've received it and you will move that mountain. Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Pray for protection through the afflictions of life, and it's yours. God will protect you. Jeremiah 29, I have plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future. Call to me in prayer, and I will answer. God will prosper you. He will. He'll move that mountain. Philippians 4, pray, and God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll make your paths straight. A promise. You receive that promise by faith. You take the next step knowing that God is guiding you. Matthew 6, 33, don't worry about the details of your life, but seek first the kingdom of God and all those details will fall into place. They'll be added to you as well. God's going to take care of you. That mountain will be moved. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So pray for courage and strength, and he'll grant it. John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Ask for freedom as you rest in the truth of God, and he will grant you freedom. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously and he will grant you wisdom. You can trust. You can be confident that he's going to give you wisdom. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When the Lord is your delight and your desire, he promises to give himself to you. He'll move that mountain. Ask whatever according to the will of God, according to the promises of God. If you have faith like the seed of mustard, a mustard seed, small. You have faith in Jesus Christ. All the promises are yours. Those are the mountains that I believe Jesus is talking about here. Move those mountains, those things that seem so impossible, but you pray according to the will of God, according to his promises, and those mountains will move. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it's yours. On one hand, this is a difficult promise because it just doesn't match our experience because we've misunderstood it. It's whatever you ask for, according to God's will, pray confidently that you have received it through the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for it in faith, even small faith, and it's yours. Take the next step knowing that God has heard you. Pray in faith according to the promises, and you will move mountains. All praise will be given to God. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the promise that you will grant whatever we ask according to your will. And you've given us so many great promises, promises that we forget and neglect. Let us be people of prayer. Let our hearts be aligned with your will. Let us feed regularly on your promises. Let us desire what you desire for us. And let us see that in your desires and in your promises we find our greatest happiness. Let us see those mountains moved in our lives. For the name and sake of Jesus Christ, our great King and Head. Amen.